So I often work with people who complain of having breathing problems. It's very, very common for swimmers, obviously, to seek out help from an instructor to help with their breathing. But we need to identify what particular aspect of breathing, or what mixture of aspects of breathing, are causing each person to feel the frustration or the discomfort or the breathlessness. So some swimmers lately, I've been running a diagnostic procedure to try to identify what the weakest area or what the most troublesome area is for them. And so I'm looking for, first of all, their breathing technique, and not merely body position and turning the head and exhaling, inhaling, but we need to see how they're taking a breath. Are they really compressing with their diaphragm, so the lower lungs are being squeezed? Are they really refilling back their lungs completely when their face is turned up? Because just because a person is turning to breathe, it doesn't tell us how they're breathing with their body, how their diaphragm, how their lungs are being compressed, how well they're being filled back up again. So there's the breathing technique itself, separate from the stroke technique. And then there is the fitness of the swimmer too, because if somebody's coming along and they don't have a strong swimming background, they haven't been swimming that long, and they're not necessarily practicing that frequently, maybe just a couple times a week, the progress, they're going to have slow progress with their respiratory development. I mean, it takes, let's just give a frame of reference. When I was on swim team in high school, so I was young, I was a teenager, and I didn't swim year round. I just swam during the swim season for a couple years. And when I came back, now I was active doing other things, but when I came back to the swim team, it took 4 weeks of swimming 5 days a week, over an hour and a half every day, for 5 days a week for 4 weeks, for me to finally feel like I wasn't dying in the pool. So that just gives you some idea. You just aren't gonna practice a couple times a week, and then after a few weeks, you're gonna feel great. No, it takes a lot of stimulation to get the body, to provoke the body to build a deeper capillary system, to become much more effective at supplying the muscles with oxygen and removing waste. So, and the older we get, the more we have to invest to get that sense of ease. So it's just, if you want to swim longer distances and higher intensities, you're going to have to put in the time to get fit for that. And then the third component, the third aspect, is the subconscious. I want to say the emotional interaction with breathing itself. Thing is, we're land mammals, and holding the breath underwater is not a normal land mammal thing to do. The people who are consciously aware of being fearful or afraid or feeling stressed with the breathing action, you know, they know that they're being stressed, and they are aware that there's this mental and emotional component that's making it difficult for them to really relax and enjoy the movements in water. But there's also many people who don't consciously feel any fear. That's like, nothing's wrong, I'm just working. But if we work into it, we really think through it, we talk about this a little bit deeper, and we examine what kind of stress. Consciously, the mind, it feels, is not stressed or afraid or frustrated, but the body is stressed and feeling frustrated, so it's tense. And so whenever we do some breathing work, they just can feel their body is just not as relaxed and working. So anyways, we have this breathing technique component, and we have a fitness component, and we have this emotional component, or we might say how the body feels, how comfortable it is with the action of holding breath and touching the air and taking this brief inhale. Those three components. And it's really helpful if we can kind of identify which of those is causing the swimmer the most limitation. So here's three steps that we can do in the water to start to feel this out. So the first thing I'll do is I'll assign maybe like 6 or 8 really short repeats where the swimmer is just going to take 6 or 8 strokes. The number of strokes is arbitrary. Basically, you just want to take enough strokes to where, as long as you can hold your breath comfortably. You don't want to keep taking strokes to where you're going to start to feel the stress of holding the breath. The idea here is I just want to see the swimmer move through the stroke choreography to take several non-breathing strokes and just see how smooth do they look and how comfortable do they feel taking those strokes when breathing is not an issue. And so we'll do several repeats. We'll maybe do 6 of those, focus on one part of the body, and do another 6 and focus on something else. And then I'll just ask for feedback. Hey, how are you feeling? Are you feeling relaxed? Are you feeling, you know, competent with the movement patterns? And if they say yes, yeah, everything feels great. I can move just right. I just wish I didn't have to breathe. Well, then step 2 that I'll do is I'll pull out a snorkel, the swimmer's snorkel. And then my next thing is, well, if we put them in swimming mode and we let them breathe, inhale and exhale freely, however they please, using the snorkel, then we'll test that and see how they feel then. Now, using a snorkel itself, if a person's not used to using one, it can be a little strange or awkward. Even some people just don't like it, so I can't always run this test for everybody. But if I can get a person acquainted or if they're already familiar with a snorkel, then we'll put the snorkel on and I'll let them get used to breathing out of the mouth only, because they have to plug the nose, obviously. And then I'll just start having them swim some lengths of the pool. So they're gonna swim continuously, stop at the wall, check things, and then do another length. And we'll do several of those repeats. And again, we'll go through some focal points and I'll see how relaxed do you feel then? And if the swimmer reports that, well, I feel great, I can breathe when I want, I don't feel the stress, I can concentrate on my stroke, no problem. Well, then I'll move to the third step, which is then I'll have them swim a few lengths of the pool, stopping at the wall, where now they have to integrate breathing again. And I will work with a very generous breathing pattern at first. We're gonna see, can we find a breathing pattern that is very generous? And so I'll suggest a breathing pattern like every 3 strokes, and if that's too much of a gap between strokes, then I'll say 2-3-2-3, use that pattern. So breathe twice on this side, then switch to the other side, breathe twice on that side, then switch back to the other side, breathe twice on that side. So 2-3-2-3 stroke pattern for breathing. So that way they're changing sides. And then when they get to the end, I'll ask them, well, how did that feel? Did you feel stress? And if they report then, yes, I felt stress then we have an idea that, it's something to do with their breathing technique when they have to do rhythmic breathing strokes. And we know that it's the breathing action itself. Something is happening there that's causing them to feel stressed or uncomfortable. Because if they could breathe fine with the snorkel and didn't feel the stress then we realize, when respiration was unhindered, there was no problem. And obviously, if they could take a few strokes, let me skip back there. But if I get to the very first step and they just take a few strokes and they aren't even comfortable taking a few strokes without having any concern for breathing, then we realize, their body's still just not comfortable with the stroke choreography itself. So when you try to throw breathing on top of that, you're just stacking up a lot of stress, a lot of things for the brain to track. And it's very understandable why then they would feel so much stress with breathing as well. Because when the brain is starting to think about breathing, its priority is breathing. And it will, if you're not strong or confident at the other movement patterns that we've taught you, then the brain is going to force your body to change its shape in order to support what the land mammals part of the brain thinks it needs to do to breathe, which is tilting the head up, pushing the arm down, doing all sorts of things that disrupt the body position. So if the swimmer can't even take a few non-breathing strokes comfortably, then that's really where the weakest link is. We still just need to keep doing a lot more repeats, short repeats, holding the breath comfortably, where we're just going to start to build more repetition, more patterns, burn those patterns more deeply into their nervous system. And not worry about the breathing part too much. Now, the work that they do holding the breath is still going to have some benefit to them just getting a bit stronger. Now, the next step then, if they're using the snorkel and they're swimming along, and let's granted the snorkel itself is not uncomfortable for them, it's not too awkward. If they're okay breathing the snorkel, but then they swim a length and they still feel breathless, being able to breathe whenever they want, I'm going to watch their breathing back. I can hear them exhaling from the snorkel, and I want to watch for them hyperventilating. So if I see a person inhale and exhaling with every single stroke or every single stroke cycle, then they could easily hyperventilate, and that's going to cause stress in their breathing. So then I may urge them to slow their exhale down. So let the exhale last for at least a couple strokes, and then they can inhale. So I'm going to try to slow that down to avoid hyperventilating. But if I hear them breathing with a little bit longer, the pattern is a little bit longer than every single stroke, so it sounds a little bit more normal, like I would maybe hear them breathing when they're running. If they get to the wall and they still say, you know, I still feel breathless, even though I'm breathing as much as I want, then that would suggest that their fitness is still just pretty weak. They just don't have a lot of fitness built up, because they can breathe as much as they would like. They're not hyperventilating. And so that lets me know that, you know, the muscles, they're just not used, and the body's just not used to doing this kind of work very much. So I would encourage the swimmer then, all right, let's do more non-breathing stroke repeats as a warm-up, and let's do more of these. Let's just do some more swimming with a snorkel on so that you can just get used to working while you can breathe more abundantly without hindrance, and just let yourself get more fit in that way. And then I may still assign some rhythmic breathing strokes, knowing that it's going to be stressful to them, but we still want to practice that a little bit, but just not a whole lot. The main fitness work is going to happen with the snorkel on. But then we get back to step three. If we found that they were comfortable taking short repeats, their stroke was smooth, they felt fine, they used a snorkel, they felt fine, they did okay, but then they come to doing rhythmic breaths integrated into the stroke and they're finding themselves breathless, then we need to look at the breathing technique, the breathing pattern, to make sure that they're breathing frequently enough. Then we need to look at the breathing technique to see, are they really squeezing the lungs from the bottom, from the diaphragm? And are they fully inhaling when it's time to inhale? Because if they're breathing with the upper chest, they're only going to get a fraction, like a quarter of the air exchange that they could have. So they're shortchanging their own breath. And I want to make sure they're not holding their breath. So I'm going to be looking for this breathing technique, how they manage the air. And if we're doing that and I see that their breathing pattern looks adequate, it seems to be adequate, they're breathing, they feel that they're breathing from the diaphragm, they feel like they're filling up the lungs, but they're still feeling so much stress, then that's suggesting to me that they do have some underlying land mammal anxiety with breathing, even if they're not feeling consciously afraid. Then that lets me know the body itself is still uncomfortable with this way of breathing and holding the breath underwater and exhaling underwater and then turning up and feeling just this brief, very vulnerable moment of trying to take a breath with the face so close to the surface. This is something that we just have to get used to. We have to just practice it enough that it becomes normalized inside of the nervous system and normalized emotionally as well, that we do it enough, the swimmer gets to do it enough without any sort of disaster, without any sort of trouble, that the pattern is established that, hey, the brain realizes, oh, I'm doing this and we've done this hundreds of times and nothing bad happens, we're okay. So that's what we're aiming for, is trying to use repetitions, successful repetitions, so that the swimmer, the body is just not freaking out anymore and not is becoming more confident that this breathing is really going to work. Now, if they're going along and they're choking on water, they're swallowing air into their stomach and they find themselves burping, or they find themselves swallowing water and stuff, we still need to go back to the breathing technique itself and kind of work on even doing some rehearsals where we practice just standing up in the shallow water, bending over and dipping the head, the face in the water, and just practicing turning, exhaling, clearing the airways, inhaling quickly and making sure we're inhaling that and we're not holding that air in our mouth. Because what I think is happening is that sometimes swimmers, they take air into the mouth, they think they've inhaled, but they actually haven't pulled much in the lungs. They take it in the mouth, and when they turn the face back down, they actually end up swallowing the air instead of inhaling it. So you want to inhale while the mouth is turned up towards the air and do the inhale there, because you're not going to inhale. You can't fill the mouth with air, close it, put it underwater, and then inhale it in the lungs. It doesn't work that way. You can't do that. You've got to inhale while the mouth is open, because it's about pressure. The inhale works with pressure, and you need the outside air pressure. You've got to have the mouth open to the outside air in order for that pressure to work with the low pressure inside the lungs. So that once you've shut your mouth, you've now sealed yourself off from the atmosphere. And all you can do left, unless you have very particular techniques that apnea divers use, all that's left to this untrained swimmer is to swallow the air. And obviously that's going to make you burp after a while. So we can't do that. So we've got to look at the breathing technique, make sure we're not swallowing air, make sure we're not swallowing water. There's lots of little things that we want to look at that will help reduce the kind of stress that the swimmer feels with the action of breathing itself, okay? So the three steps, swimming short repeats, holding the breath comfortably, and you're just taking strokes and concentrating on, can you just swim comfortably when you don't have to worry about breathing? Step two, using a snorkel, can you swim comfortably breathing unhindered through the snorkel? So you can do whatever breathing pattern you want. Just try not to hyperventilate. And can you swim comfortably then? And then the third step is then, well, let's now look at taking strokes with integrated breathing and see what happens there. And we're just trying to parse out, is the main hindrance fitness? Is the main hindrance, main limitation, breathing technique? Or does the swimmer have a problem with just underlying lack of confidence, a lot of stress buildup with just the action of breathing that feels so vulnerable right there near the surface, all right? So hopefully you can, if you're noticing problems with your own breathing and you're wondering what might be that limitation, you can try those three steps and try to identify where that problem is for you, all right? And let me know how that goes for you.